the director of what is it? Deputation director, yes, sir, for Armed Forces Baptist Missions. He's one of our missionaries. We support him monthly. Your faithful giving helps him and his family continue to minister to our armed forces. And I've been asking him, we have a goal this year to take on 5 new missionaries. It's tough to find qualified missionaries.
That's right.
And I've been looking. And so I've challenged Brother Pierce, if he has folks that need support, to send them our way. And even if they can't visit, maybe we can do a Skype or something. But I thank the Lord for Brother Pierce and his faithful service. And I thank the Lord for the blessing he's been to our church. And I look forward to, Lord willing, you know, many more years of being encouraged by him and allowing that opportunity to minister. Continue to pray for him and their ministry, that they might reach even more and more people for the Lord. If you wanted to give towards Brother Pierce, of course, please do so. You can do so by designating and putting it on the envelope in the back. But the church will certainly be giving him a love offering as we do. Thank you for being here. And if you can, stay awake, all right? Brother Matt, I saw how many plates you had. Actually, I should be looking at Brother Richard, because that guy was putting it away. I saw it back there. And feel free to get up, walk around, shake it off, you know, and if you need to. So, Brother Pierce, why don't you come up and preach for us? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That, what a day, man. I'm Baptist filled, Baptist fed, probably Baptist dead. Amen. And, man, I'll tell you, it's been a 5-pound weekend already. Praise God. It's been clockwork. And but it has been good. I had banana pudding salad back there, amen.
Amen.
And but that was good banana pudding. And the Mexican food was wonderful, man. That was good food. And I'll tell you, man, it's just been clockwork. And but it's been a great weekend. Thank you. You're very kind, young people. Thank you, little man, for your comments. And you know, I do love young people. I have a special place in my heart for young people. And I mean that. And, you know, really, you know, when you're working with young men in the military, it's like working with older teenagers. That's all they are. They're 18, 19 years old, just coming out of high school. You know, they're really beginning to enter the adult stage of life, trying to figure everything out, you know, what they need. And you know, I met some young people that get out there and, you know, they want to get away from authority. They want to get away from leadership. And I don't know why they go in the military, you know, and that's what approaches them as they're in the military. But it's a great joy. You know, pray for young people. They face so many things that growing up that you and I probably have not faced as that are older. They're facing things in this culture that we never had to deal with. And so, you know, pray for them. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know that you care about them and you're excited for how God can still work. No, not all young people are turning out for the devil.
Amen.
Don't buy into that. Don't look around and think all that. There's a lot of good young people still giving themselves to the Lord. You know, all we can ask is, hey, if they're yielded to the Lord and whatever, how God uses them in their life, that at least they're willing to serve God no matter what God has them do. Amen.
Amen.
And Jenny, a couple years ago, went off to camp. She came back, stood up, gave a testimony, and said, I just want to do what God wants me to do. And then a couple weeks later, she wrote a little letter to me, and she said, Daddy, that was a great sermon. And she's heard that sermon 300 times probably. And she said, hey, I'm willing to go wherever God wants me to go. What more can we ask? And so, you know, I just have a special place for young people, and I want you to know, young people, you stay encouraged in the Lord. Love your parents. Honor your parents. And you know, and follow the Lord. The Lord will never disappoint you, young people. We as adults sometimes may disappoint you. We may let you down, but God will never let you down. And you lean unto Him, you know, because you might get older. You might come to a place in your life where you really need God, and you're going to remember all these little things that you were taught in Sunday school and children's church, and God will use it. Pastor, I just want to say thank you to you and Mrs. What a joy. Thank you for giving yourself to come to Washington and to serve God, to put your family here, to say we're not going to leave. We're going to stay here. We're just going to build a work for God. And I want to say thank you, church, for loving your pastor. It's a joy to see him to be able to sit there, someone leading singing, some of the men doing announcements, you know, just see you be involved. Do that. That makes find out where you can get busy. I've given him a phrase. This is your church. What are you doing to serve in your church? What are you doing? And this is your church. And so just you know, let work him out of jobs. Amen. Yeah. And that way he can give his time to praying, get him time to studying the Word of God. Yeah. And that way he'll have something for you. And he wants to give you something. So do that, you know. And I mean, there's always something to do, greeting people, making sure the building's tidy, making sure people are welcome. And that's important because one man can't do it all. And certainly the Lord wants to use each of you. And thank you for your faithful giving to our family. And what you've done for us really makes a world of difference. We could not do it without the gifts of God's people in our ministry. And I've realized that years and years ago, how God has used God's people. And so we're thankful for that, that we can give ourselves to others. What you do for us takes care of us and sustains us, but it allows us to do our ministry for others also. Amen. And we count it a great joy. Thank you for being good to us, being good to me this weekend, and I appreciate that. And I called my – I tell you, here's what happens. I get on the road for about 3 or 4 days. I'm ready to go home. Yeah, and I'm ready to see my wife and see my daughter. And, you know, my wife just texted me as I was sitting there and said they got home from church and things of that nature. And so – but you know, I'm thankful that my wife – is willing to share our ministry and what we do, and I'm committed to seeing them be able to get being taken care of back there. 1 Kings, if you will, tonight, chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. First Kings chapter number 17, and we'll begin reading. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." God told Elijah, he said, "You tell King Ahab that there's going to come a time there's going to be no rain. There's going to be some drought." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." See, the land was dry, but God was going to provide for Elijah. Notice, "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and flesh at evening, and he drank of the brook. And then in verse number 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now here in 1 Kings chapter 17, we see Elijah declares to King Ahab that there would be no rain. The Lord tells Elijah to go to the brook of Cherith. You know, let me just say this. Where you're in God's will and He will take you, He will provide. Amen. And you study the Scripture and you'll find as God led men and women, where He takes them, He will provide. I'm glad we have a God that provides. And he took him near Cherith, and there God told Elijah that he would be able to be fed, and then he would to be able to drink of the brook. You know, God uses his means to be provided. Amen. God uses his work. And he said the ravens would feed him there. And I don't know, maybe he was having worms. I don't know what the ravens were getting him. But whatever God gave him, it was sufficient to take care of his need. See, this happened for a period of time, and then the brook dried up and there was no rain. When this happened, God led him to another area. We'll look at that later. See, Elijah was enjoying the good times in the Lord by the mighty hand of God. Isn't it wonderful to enjoy the blessings of God? See, Elijah, in his life, saw God do many, many miracles. Many things happened that God showed himself. See, Elijah always expected God to come through. Isn't that wonderful that we can expect God to come through? I don't know about you. Have you ever been in pickles and God has come through? But one day something happened. The brook dried up. The brook dried up. Let me ask you in your life, what are you going to do when your brook dries up? What are you going to do when your brook dries up? I'm just going to share. Stephanie's given me permission to use her testimony. God gave us the Wesco family, and let me just share a little bit about she was brought up in a good, godly home, and of course, their grandparents had ran the Hepzibah house for years, a home to help girls that are wayward. And Stephanie was brought up there through People's Baptist Church and there and loved the Lord. And, of course, trying to be in the will of God all these years. And God brought Charles Wesco in their life. Amen. Isn't that wonder how serving God, you know, young people got to bring that right mate. You know, God knows who you need to marry. God knows. And you wait on Him. You trust Him. God to bring that. That's His work and His will. And God wants you to be single too. Amen. If that's His will. And there's nothing wrong with that either. So here's this precious couple that God put together. They prayed and asked God for each other. And God miraculously, the Lord has blessed them over time with over 8 children. Amen. And they have a wonderful, wonderful family and all very talented. They sing. They do a lot of different. They sing. And I watched one of their sons at camp quote the whole book of Daniel to perfection. And he was able to dramatize through the book of Daniel as he was saying it from word. It was pretty amazing. And when he did that camp, and here this wonderful family for several years. They served on staff at a church and was being faithful there. And then one day, God called this wonderful family to go to Cameroon. They was called to go to Cameroon. And that's a wonderful thing. And they do it. They do the thing that every missionary does, thanking God for that call. And going from church to church and raising support. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Here they're praying the will of God and they're going out raising support and God's providing the support. The children are seeing how God is meeting their needs and starting out with nothing. Then all of a sudden, God gives them a little bit to live by little bit by live. The family got to see how God would use churches just like this to give them offerings to live off then. Maybe take him support. Finally, that day has arrived where they would have the opportunity to go to that field of calling. What a wonderful joy that it is that they were able to go to that field of calling. And so, as every church does, they like to pray for the missionaries before they're being sent out. And so, that wonderful pastor there was able to pray over their missionaries and send them out. The time that they worked 2 or 3 years on the road, deputation, things that they prayed for their whole life and things that their parents had prayed over their children that God would use them, things have begun to happen. And it was so excited. So the day for them to arrive in Cameroon and when they were able to get in Cameroon, they had another couple that they were going to work with and help for a while, then eventually venture off. Here they've arrived and just say, thanking God, hey, we're in the will of God. We're where God wants us. We're seeing God's blessing. And of course, they had a getting settled in, you know, got boxes and trying to make sure they got a place to live and just doing the main things that missionaries do. Well, a little bit what was going on in Cameroon during that time, as they got to the field, this was in 2018. Of course, you had the government forces, and then you had the rebel forces, if you would allow me to say that. And, of course, one day, Charles and the other missionary family they were driving, so it was the missionary, his wife, Charles, and his wife Stephanie, and their oldest son was traveling, and as they were traveling, the unthinkable happened. They were caught in crossfire by the rebel group. And before you know it, shots were fired, and Charles was shot with a 12-gauge buckshot. His son had to witness this horrible, horrific thing. And there Stephanie is holding her husband. Stephanie began to tell us, and we've heard this testimony, as she was all this raw emotion. And all they could do was just pray and say, oh God, we know, we believe you and we trust you. Of course, they immediately got Charles in the emergency room, but Stephanie could already see that he was turning blue. And they did all that they could for them, did for him for that during that time. And that doctor came out and gave Stephanie the bad news. But during this time, the rebel forces were getting upset because they thought they were getting blamed for all that. And, of course, the state forces were trying to go after that. So they had about an hour window. They had to get back, get ready to go to the consulate because the rebel forces were actually coming after Stephanie and all the other kids. So within an hour, they had to get everything packed up. And they had to get over to the consulate. And they had to get out of country, not even yet having the body of our dear husband. Here now they come back to the States. Finally they are able to retrieve the body of Charles and give him a proper burial. Think about this. Here's this couple that's given themselves to God their whole life. Here they go to the place of the rejoicing of the place that God brought them. And here everything they dreamed and prayed for, it seemed like maybe ended. What are you going to do when your brook dries up? What was she going to do with her when her brook dries up? What are you going to do when your brook dries up? I sat in camp and I heard her tell her story. And Pastor, every day I rehash that sometimes. And I begin to say, Harold Pierce don't have a thing to complain about. Amen. Let me tell you the wonderful thing that God has done. She was with a dear friend that we know that has a wonderful agency. They were with that agency. And when she came back, she needed time to recover. She wants to be in God. She's serving God and she's trying to figure out all this. She's battling all these raw emotions, battling PTSD. The family is heartbreaking. The kids, and miraculously, God, they reached out to Brother Carragher in the area of the PTSD. So Doug and Debbie and his wife has been able to work closely with her and helping her through these traumatic events that has taken place in her life. And so she begins to see the healing of God. Then, believe it or not, another thing happens. She finds out that she's got several tumors on her liver. Now she's just within months of coming back. Here she's once again faced with another trial. Her husband, she's thinking about her 8 children. What if something happens to me? What about my children? Who's going to take care of my children? Thank God she miraculously goes to the doctor, and the doctor says them tumors are not cancers. They're just, they'll have to be controlled by diet and stuff like that. And they check them to make sure there's nothing wrong there. But we've watched God take His hand and just miraculously begin to heal her in so many ways. What are you going to do when your brook dries up? Now, because of her being faithful, still wanting to serve God, God has opened new doors with her. There's people reaching out to her about dealing with bereavement. She's now working with over 30-something ladies, those who are widows and those who have gone through traumatic events, suffering trauma. God's brought her aboard our PTSD ministry. She's working with ladies and she's working with widows. You know what? Her brook dried up. I think there was days that she didn't even know how to pray. Maybe there was days she really didn't even know how to approach God. But you know what? She said, God, I'm your child. I want to find out what you have for me. And today she's accepting that everything is done in God's will. And if it was God's will for the Lord to have Charles, that's all right. That's God's business. And so my message tonight is, what are we going to do when our brook dries up? How are we going to react? What are we going to do? Sometimes it's enjoyable to enjoy the blessings of God and everything that happens. But what if them blessings begin to stop a little bit? What are we going to do? Let us pray, and maybe we'll look through this chapter and see some things that we can do when our brook dries up. Father, help us now these next few minutes, I pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word. Seventy-side. Help us to be an encouragement to Faith Baptist Church. Thank you for their faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, what are you going to do when your brook dries up? Notice in the verse, you know, James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'll just read it. You don't have to turn it. I'll go over there and read it. But I think this is a good verse. I like the book of James, chapter number 1. Notice what it said. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Amen. I'm thankful for the gifts of God. Neither is there shadow of turning. So every good gift, every perfect gift is come from above. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing God gives us? Ultimately, everything is God's, amen, that He gives us. Thankful that He gives us. You know, I think it's kind of unique. He allows us to live off 90 and only requires 10, amen? I mean, what if God said, you live off 10 and give me 90? Yeah. And He said, hey, you just get take care of me and I'll take care of you. But I want you to notice in verse number 6, of this portion of Scripture. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And you know, the main thing, when our brook seems to dry up, we need to stay doing according unto the word of the Lord. We need to do what's continually called and right. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Here he thought he wasn't going to have nothing, but he was taken care of. See, Elijah, what are you going to do when your brook dries up? Elijah had to realize all care came from above. Amen? Folks, we got to realize it's God that provides and takes care of our needs. See, men may fail us, but God never fails us. I want you to know, thank God, we can realize all care from above. Thank God for His plentiful goodness. You know, you think about it. America's blessed in so many ways. God's given us so much. God's given us the opportunity even look at our economy now and free trade, business and things of that nature. And I'm thankful for the plenteous. Even at our lowest, I still think we do pretty good. God's been pretty good to us, the plentiful. But I want you to know that Elijah realized all care came from God. Not only the plentiful, but I want you to know all care comes from God when it's less plentiful. I want you to know God's care is just as important when it's less plentiful. I'll never forget when my father worked at General Motors. Things were pretty good. GM paid a pretty good buck back in the 70s, amen, for inflation during that time. But I'll never forget, every so often, GM would go on strike. I mean, we were eating steak and mashed potatoes and rolls and gravy. I'll make you hungry again, hallelujah. I mean, we've enjoyed the good times, but I'll never forget when them strikes happened. We'd have no money coming in. We were struggling to get a little bit of eggs, milk, bread, and man, we ate. You say, why do you like potatoes, Brother Harold? Because I lived off potatoes, amen? I still love fried potatoes. Get that old bacon grease, put them potatoes in there, put that garlic salt on there, and just work miracles, hallelujah. Man, I remember eating potatoes and eggs. My mom could cook eggs and potatoes several different ways, amen? A little bit of milk every so often, a little bit of bread. But you know what I tell you? We got to come to the place we realize that God is the God of the plentiful. Amen. But sometimes when it's not as plenteous, He's still God. And number two, I want you to notice, what are you going to do when your brook dries up? God knew how to build Elijah's faith. He didn't throw everything out at him at once. He took them step by step. And in verse number 7, notice, Elijah realized God knew how to build up his faith. And it came to pass that while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. See, God knew how to keeps his moving. Elijah realized God knew how to build Elijah's faith. God knows how to keep us moving when we don't want to. Isn't that wonderful? God knows how to poke us a little bit and keep us moving when we don't even want to. He knows how to keep us sometimes from getting satisfied. You know, one thing we got to watch is living in that comfort zone. Sometimes we get in that, you know, you got to be honest, man. Isn't it nice? I believe in, what are them chairs, lazy boys? Hallelujah, man. Every man and woman needs a lazy boy. I know I just said every man, but every woman needs a lazy boy. Hallelujah. Man, you ever get home? Now we have like this double one. We have the double one. Now it's not electric or nothing like that. But we kick that thing back. That thing goes like this. And the dog is spoiled. Our little dog, man, that little Chiweenie. Yeah. That dog is like a lap dog, likes blankets. I mean, it's like a little baby. It's wonderful. She jumps up there, crawls under the blanket, loves her daddy. And she likes that Ohio State blanket, praise God. She gets up there, and she'll crawl up in my lap, and we're getting that, you know, we'll just sit there, and that blanket's nice and warm. Hey, you know what happened? You know why they call it lazy boy, right? Because when you get in there, it makes you lazy. You don't want to get up and do nothing, praise God. Your eyes begin to get heavy. Your wife begins to talk to you that stuff that needs to be done. All of a sudden, you don't want to get motivated to get out of that chair. Maybe she gets in her chair, and it's time for dinner. Dinner's running a little late because the lazy boy's calling her. And you know what happens sometimes in our Christian life? We come used to seeing God always take care of our needs. We come used to reading our Bible and God already always speaking to our hearts. We come used, there was a day we remember how hard it was for Pastor and his family to come, and you remember the days when there was work parties and you were putting this building together so it would be presentable, but now you're enjoying it and you got these brand new beautiful chairs. But there was a day you probably had the metal chairs, man. How many are with me? And you come through, and so now you're enjoying the comforts of God. You've got beautiful heat. You got beautiful lighting. I mean, it's wonderful. But here's what happened. God wants us to be content. He wants us to be content with His blessings. But then what happens? We become satisfied. We get satisfied. We get satisfied. And then sometimes things happen. Now, we ought to be content, but let us don't get where we get in a comfort zone and we're not willing to let God move us further. Amen. See, God knew how to build Elijah's faith. You know, God knows how to build your faith. Hey, I don't know. What if God says it's time to move the building again or something? What if God said, hey, I begin to fill this up and we're going to continue to move forward?
Amen.
It might be a great journey. Amen. You know, just don't get used to being in that comfort zone. Let God continue to stir us and move us. And then number three, notice verse 8. I love this. The brook dried up. God was feeding them. Man, he was getting raven manna, hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, he was getting that flesh. Anybody got any theology idea maybe what he's being fed? You know, that bird was looking for something, man. Got him, fed him, took care of him. But notice what happened. That brook dried up because there had been no rain. But here's some of the most beautiful things. And the word of the Lord came unto him.
Amen.
God was still speaking to him when his brook dried up. See, I want you to know, God still wants to speak in dry times. God still wants to work in your heart in dry times. You know, when you're going through health issues, it's hard sometimes to let God speak to you, isn't it? You know, when you're going through sick and health problems, it's hard to even open the Word of God, isn't it? Oh, maybe when you've been disappointed and you've been hurt, let's just be real, folks. It's hard to open the Word of God. We hear it preached and we know we should, but when you're going through times, it's hard to be spiritual sometimes, isn't it? It's hard. But I want you to know God still speaks through them dry times. God said, Elijah, I'm going to still take care of you. I'm going to still speak to you. And he heard them refreshing words, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath. Now notice what happened. He said, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Now notice this. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. Wow. So here he goes. The brook dries up and he comes to a spot and the least person that you would expect was going to be the one to take care of him. Here you have a widow woman. What's this widow woman going to do? She don't have no husband. She may not have no providence. She's probably trying to scrape enough there to take care of her own family. So he went and arose, and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in my hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering these two sticks that I may go and dress it. She's making steak stick. Amen? They're going to have steak stick that night. She was going to take that flour mill and dress them sticks and eat them. That's tough living. That I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go, and as thou said, but make me there for a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after that make thee for thy son. For thus the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God continually provided that meal. He continued to provide that oil. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Well, that's a wonderful story, what God did. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto Elijah. See, I want you to notice, fourth of all, what are you going to do when your brook dries up? I want you to realize the results are always not on the first appearance of things.
Amen.
God knows how to use the weakest of things to do great and mighty things.
Amen.
So what we appear of, how it may come about, God used this widow woman. Maybe the least expected it, but it was the way that God was going to use. We cannot always quit on the first appearance of things. We got to let God work. Trust God, He's going to work through these things. Isn't it a wonderful thing? God used this widow woman there and provided for Elijah. Then not only did it increase Elijah's faith, but it increased that widow woman's faith. How many people quit? Or how many people give up on the appearance of first things, but not letting God follow through? Just giving God a chance. Just giving God to work through circumstances. Just getting God, letting God work through situations. My question really tonight is, what are we going to do when the brook dries up? You know, maybe you're being blessed. Maybe you're at that point, you're the multiple. And I thank God for His blessings. But what happens when the brook dries up? What happens maybe when we get hurt? Maybe someone doesn't do us right in that brook. How are you going to react? What are you going to do? Maybe tonight your brook, you seem like your brook has dried up. You're going through the fire tonight. You're going through the heartache. What are you going to do? He's still the same God that saved you. He's still the same God that has brought you this far. Oh, let me tell you, He's waiting and He's there to help you. Are you going to let Him continue to speak? Are you going to let Him bring you through that trial? You going to let Him bring you through that struggle? Because, folks, normally when He brings us through like that, we're far off better on the other side that He brings us through. Thank God. You know, life is a journey, isn't it? And sometimes in this Christian life, if we saw that journey, we may not have took that journey sometimes, like being obedient and stuff. But you know what? God knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. You know, we're early in 2020. What are you going to do if your brook dries up a little bit in 2020? You know, you want to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe you're here and your brook is, you seem like your brook has dried up. Are you thirsty? Are you needing the hand of God? He'll fill you. He'll give you strength. He'll give you encouragement. Let's pray with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. I want you to know God loves you. Maybe you're here this evening and the most important thing, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I wonder, with heads bowed, eyes closed, how many would say by an uplifted hand, Brother Pierce, if I was to pass from this life tonight, I do know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. There was a time I realized I was a sinner. I realized Jesus died for me, and I repented of my sins, and I trusted Him as my personal Savior. How many could say by the upper hand, I know if I die tonight, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Could you raise your hand tonight as a testimony? Just raise your hand if you know that as a testimony. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I wonder, maybe you're here tonight and say, Brother Pierce, I couldn't raise my hand as a testimony. If I die tonight, I really don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But would you pray for me? Would you want prayer? Would you just raise your hand? I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Only Pastor and I are looking. Maybe you don't know that for sure. You say, pray for me. Just pray for me. Raise your hand, slip it up, put it down. I don't know. Maybe your brook has dried up. If you need to be saved, I'm going to ask you to step out and meet Pastor, but maybe God's dealing with your heart about the brook being dried up. Maybe where you're at, you can pray at your seat. right there and just say, oh God, my brook's dry. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. I know pastor's wife, he'll pray with you. I know there's people that pray with each other. A lady will pray with a lady, a man with a man, whatever the need is. What are you going to do when your brook dries up, pastor?
Head bowed, eyes closed, and the piano is playing. Now it's your opportunity to respond.
Grace, grace, grace.
This week, seek His favor, lean on His arm. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Brother Pierce, for preaching. And boy, I tell you, when the brook dries up, we need to seek God. I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, that even before you leave this place, you say, Pastor, I'm just embarrassed to walk the aisle. That's fine. You come see me. Say, Pastor, I'm concerned about my soul. I'd love to take a moment. And if it's a woman, I'll have my wife sit with you, amen, one of our ladies sit with you and show you how you can be saved.
Amen.
What a great weekend.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you, Brother Pierce. Thank you, church. And, of course, we have some announcements we're going to give here. Thank you, church, for your participation and just your blessing on it, just blessing everyone this weekend. All right. Announcements. I'm going to try to put these up after every service. We're trying to do things a little different. You say, why don't you do it during the service? Because I think it interrupts the flow of worship. I want us to just focus on worship. And just remember tonight as you leave, next Sunday night, the youth, all right, all the young people participating in the devotional challenge, we're going to go get pizza after the evening service. And we won't be too late, moms and dads. I know they got school the next day. 6th and 7th, if you want to join us, 7 o'clock on Friday the 6th, we'll leave earlier than that, but there's a men's meeting at BBC Oak Harbor, Bible Baptist Oak Harbor, and then the 7th on Saturday during the day in the morning. 15th, now listen, invite your friends,
right,
acquaintances, neighbors,
right,
enemies, just invite them.
Right.
And my goal, my personal goal, what I'm praying for is God would fill this church,
right,
and we'd have people saved.
Amen.
And so Brother Bertrell's going to be here. He's going to preach. Boy, you'll be blessed. He'll be here morning and night. We've got gifts that we're going to give away.
Amen.
And you'll be inviting someone to Friend Day Anniversary Sunday on the 15th. It'll be our 16th anniversary.
Amen. Amen.
And then, boy, I'm very excited about our family conference with Brother Dave. You say, well, Pastor, it's a family conference. I'm single. I'm older. I don't have children. You come.
Amen.
I would like our whole church to be here. Listen.
Amen.
Brother Davis does something unique that I've not had any evangelists do. He said he gives me all of his sermons and says, you pick the ones that you believe your church needs
to
hear.
Amen.
Like I said, if you don't like something he says, you can come beat me up. Say, Pastor, why'd you have him pick that one?
Amen.
Amen. And so I'm picking things that I know will be a help to us.
Amen.
Friday night, I'm going to ask him to preach on anger.
Amen.
It has changed Christy and I's lives.
Amen.
You come.
Amen.
You come. God will give you victory.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to that. All right. Any other announcements tonight? Brother Robert.
I announced this morning, but just to remind you, I handed out some things to our church for upcoming anniversary Sunday. And I'd like for those to, if you have anything that you'd like to do that's on that sheet, please hand them to me by Wednesday if you could. And also... I want to let everybody know that Miss Debbie Castile is going to be doing an MS rally. She's going to be doing a walk marathon. And she's going to be doing it in Port of Everett here. And I have the address as she gave it to me tonight. So if you have any questions, talk with her or talk to me. She'd like to, if you want to donate some money, you can, either to her or online. We have that information. And then also, she wants to know if you want to be a part of that day of walking with her as a group. Let her know, because she'd like to have order shirts ahead of time for us to wear as a group. And so I just wanted to throw that out to everybody that wasn't here this morning. So,
Dad or DJ, you guys want to say something about Wednesday, the college?
Yeah.
You guys want to bring that up?
How are you?
Yeah, we usually meet up if you want to. Yeah. We usually get around 10 o'clock. Sometimes 9:30 we get there. Between 9:30 and 11 is when we're usually there. It's Andrew, Kurt, and I. So if you want to meet up, and Richard, we're always, the four of us would go. If you want to go, just text us, one of us, and that, and we'll let you know. There, but we'll be there. You just come find us. We're in the main area. You'll see us along where the cafeteria is, and there's a main thoroughway, so it'll be pretty good to see us there. If you see us, just link up with us.
You're handing out gospel tracts and outreach. If you want an opportunity to be able to witness without feeling like people are going to say no to you a lot, the college is a great place to go. It is a, you know, if you're a fisherman, there's fishing holes you go to where you know you're going to catch fish.
It's a place.
Right, right.
That's a place to go, man. It's a blessing every time. DJ?
We had some people come, and we talked to a lot of people, and some people have come, so it's really good thing to go if you want to go. It's really, people really talk to you. People do take
the Jehovah's Witnesses are there every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, two sets there this last
week. Mormons are there. Where
they
are
know
there?
That.
I don't know if Mormons go there often, and it's a sad thing that Christians aren't present reaching our young people for
right.
The Lord. And so let's be that church. Let's be a lighthouse. God put us here for a reason. All right, all minds clear, brother Matt.
We have a birthday.
Oh, thank you, man. We got one birthday. Come on up, Emma.
Woo.
Hallelujah. The girl's gonna be 11,
woo.
Right? 11. Let's sing happy. Thank you for reminding me. I always forget these. So let's sing happy birthday to this dear young lady. Are you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Happy birthday, Emma.
We got something I like.
Don't think about anything.
Don't be intimidated.
All right, good deal. All right. Amen. You be dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night for prayer meeting. What did you do?